This is a HeadGum Original.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Everywhere I go, I see his face. I just really miss him.
Yeah, I miss him too.
I don't think Tony would have done what he did if he didn't know that you were going to be here after he was gone.
You gonna be the next Iron Man now?
Well, no, I don't have time. I'm too busy doing your jobs.
What?
I'm kidding, I'm kidding. Look,
keep up the good work.
Because I am going on vacation.
Heads up, Nick Fury's calling you.
I don't really want to talk to Nick
Fury.
Answer
the phone.
Why?
Because if you don't talk to him, then I have to talk to him. I don't want to talk to him. You sent Nick Fury to voicemail?
I gotta go.
You do not ghost Nick Fury.
What up, dorks?
What's up? We're just talking about the trip.
I'm here in St. Marco Polo.
Oh, I think MJ really likes me.
That reminds me when I first fell in love.
You're a very difficult person to contact, Spider-Man. This is Mr. Beck.
We could have used someone like you on my world.
Your world?
Beck is from Earth, just not ours. A snap to our hole in our dimension.
You're saying there's a multiverse?
We have a job to do, and you're coming with us.
Gotta be someone else you can use.
What about Thor?
Off-world.
Captain Marvel.
Unavailable.
But I'm just a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Bitch, please, you've been to space.
What do you want, Peter? I want to go back on my trip with the girl who I really like and tell her how I feel. MJ,
I am Spider-Man.
No, of course I'm not.
I mean, it's kind of obvious.
You're right, you may not be ready, but this is my responsibility.
Saving the world requires sacrifice. Sometimes people die.
Oh my God.
I just always feel like I'm putting my friends in danger. The world needs the next Iron Man.
Are you going to step up or not?
I work with Spider-Man.
You work for Spider-Man?
I work with Spider-Man, not for Spider-Man. New plan.
Another episode of Newcomers. I'm Nicole Byer.
I'm Lauren Lapkus.
And we are covering the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
And, oh my God, we're very far in. We're very far in.
This is the 19th episode. Lord, we only have one more.
That's sickening. I'm very excited. We've been working our way through the Marvel Cinematic Universe with the help of fellow newcomers, some super fans, and sometimes even people who've contributed to the franchise.
Yeah, and we didn't get to everything because the MCU is, like, super expansive, and I think we would try to pass away by our own hands if we had to do it all.
We only did 10 episodes of Tyler Perry. We can't do this for that much more. It's like, we didn't even get into the Tyler Perry universe at all.
I know.
Which I'm sad about, but today we are covering Spider-Man Far From Home, which is available with a subscription to Hulu with live TV, or you can also watch it for a fee on Amazon, Apple TV+, Google Play, and Vudu. And obviously we're going to spoil the entire film. But Nicole, before we bring our guest out today, What were your thoughts on this movie?
So my thoughts were, how dare you? I have a subscription to Hulu. I just don't have live TV
Me
with Hulu.
Me neither. And it's how much
nowhere.
Is that?
I don't know.
Because I didn't. No, no, no.
There
I don't
was
like
other
that.
Spider-Mans without a home. There was like Homecoming. I can't get away from. I got to get back home or something.
Yeah.
And then I was like, which one is it? And then I had to go back and forth from the email. And then I was like, oh, okay. So I can watch all of them for free except for this one that I have to watch.
Yeah, I did rent it on Amazon. So your feelings on the movie were it was annoying that you had to get it.
No, okay. I liked it. I thought it was cute.
I did too. I thought it was cute. And also, multiple people told me, oh, that's not a good one. And then
that's
yes. I think that they have a different perspective than we do because
I agree.
Felt like it was really cute and very easy to watch. And I enjoyed it. I actually was like, if yes. I would ever watch one again, this would be on the list.
I don't know, because Jake Gyllenhaal, he truly explained everything that was happening that made it like really easy. But I felt like he thought I was really stupid. And he was like, hey, dumb, this is what I'm fucking doing. This is what we're all doing. And I was
like, know.
Oh, okay, thank you, Jake.
His character was kind of like, you guys are all stupid.
Yeah.
Including
also,
me. Yeah.
That helmet made me laugh.
Well, the
so
helmet
hard.
Was really dumb. It was like the old timey. Deep sea diver.
Yes, I loved it. It was like a snow globe on his head. And then when he trapped Spider-Man in the snow globe, I was like, oh my God, he's like in his head.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, okay. Let's bring our guest up because I would love to hear his thoughts on this. We are so excited for our guest today, Whitmer Thomas. Whitmer is a comedian. Don't talk. Okay.
Sorry.
You have to wait. We say your name first and then the intro. Much
That's
like a famed performance
this.
By Patti LaBelle. Have you seen it? She's at the inauguration of like... Fucking, or no, it's like the, I don't know, the White House Christmas something with Bill Clinton, and they introduce her name first. She pops out, then he starts talking. She's like, well, oh no, she hides. And then she doesn't know the lyrics to the song. They're not doing the cue cards fast enough. It's
oh,
one
that,
of the funniest
Oh, that
videos.
Is one of the funniest things ever. I have been to the beginning where she doesn't know she's not supposed to come out yet.
Yeah, he's like, we have with us today, Patti LaBelle. She walks out and he was like, Patti has done. And she's like, I thought I was supposed to go. It's a perfect video.
Well, that's what we're recreating here.
Mm-hmm.
Whitmer's a comedian and musician whose special, The Golden One, is streaming on HBO Max. It's really fantastic. And you can also hear Whitmer in HeadGum's new scripted podcast, Corked. And now you are on the show, Whitmer. Hello.
Yes. Hello, Whitmer. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, my gosh. We're so excited you're here. I did love your HBO Max special, mm-hmm. The Golden One.
It's
highly
great.
Recommend.
Thank you.
Yeah. And tell us about your experiences with Marvel. How connected are you to this franchise?
Do you love it? Do you hate it? Do you love it?
Let's see. I really liked Marvel when it first started out. I was pretty stoked on it. And now there's just a ton of different movies. So it's like a whole, it's kind of a stressful situation. And I think, you know, in a way, didn't, you know, I would be in a Marvel movie at the drop of a hat. If you offered me a nickel.
Oh, of course. Mm-hmm. That's also what we were trying to get across with our entire
yes.
podcast, is that no matter what our opinions
we
are, we
want
to be in the films. Yeah.
Yeah, but at the same time, I do think that they have, like, killed movies, right? So, it's kind of a weird situation.
A conundrum, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a tricky situation because... many people believe that this has ruined filmmaking.
Well, yeah, it has. I mean, it has. Now you got Sam Raimi over here going to make a Doctor Strange. What are you? Come on. But I'm sure it'll even out just in time for me to be 60 years old and like living on a farm or with a dock on a swamp or something. And I'm sure they'll go back to normal movies at that point. But, you know, I grew up, like, I loved comic books and stuff. So it was really exciting when all these movies started happening way back. But now the stakes are a bit high. The world's going to end, that kind of stuff. I don't care about that.
Oh.
Yeah.
So wait, what comics did you like as a kid?
Batman. It's Batman.
Okay.
Batman.
Yeah, so you love Joker. Is that true?
Well... Mm-hmm. What's happened now is that Joker, Jack Nicholson as Joker in the Batman movie when I was a kid, that I would watch that a lot, the one from the 80s. And then right when I moved to LA, Heath Ledger shows up as Joker, and that was mind blowing. And then Joker became like a joke, like a meme, you know, like a, you just want to watch the world burn, and kind of like an incel icon. And that's kind of where I started goofing off with Joker a lot as sort of a bit. But then I sort of realized, like, oh, well, no, it is, I do sincerely love this character. But now it's the lines are a kind of blurred because it is sort of a joke, but I actually do, I really like my guy Joker a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like if you're going to get really invested in a character, you probably care about them on some level, even if it's ironic a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. And he looks really cool. I just think he looks great.
What the 80s Joker or Heath Ledger?
Both. I think both of them look great.
The Heath Ledger one is scary to me.
He's scary, think it's pretty sexy.
He's scary, but okay. I'm positive I could get him to like me. I know I could just like, I could be like, hey, you don't got to kill me, pal. I'll be your buddy.
Yeah. But would you do his bidding or would you just be like, I'm here for a friendship?
No, I'm here for laughs. Let's joke around, goof off.
It's like you are the Joker.
Yeah. But we've had too much Joker.
Yeah.
Get rid of it. I feel like they did the Heath Ledger, then they kind of bummed everybody out with Jared Leto. Then they did Joaquin. That was an interesting take. Then they got this new young boy doing Joker in the news.
Who's the new young boy?
Is it Ezra?
No.
Who's doing it?
It's a guy kind of like Ezra. I can't remember his name, though. He's Irish, I think.
Okay, I'm looking up new Joker.
Me too. But it's kind of hard to narrow it down. Barry Cohen? Or Cohen or something?
Keoghan. Yeah, and I feel, you know, we don't need another Joker. Just give Joker a rest.
Oh, for a while.
That's just how I feel. And maybe they'll do something cool with it, but.
I like him. He's got good eyes.
He's an interesting looking guy.
Mm-hmm. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Did you like the new Batman, Whitmer? We'll get back to the MCU, but I need to know this. Did you like it?
I like Robert Pattinson as Batman.
So you didn't like the movie?
I thought Robert and Zoe were cool. There was a lot of elements that I thought were really cool, but I did think too long.
Oh, really? I thought not long enough.
Oh, okay.
And it was 3 hours?
It was so fucking long, but I had such a nice time.
I can't believe it.
It has got me excited for the next Batman is what I was thinking.
And is that in the works or we just know there will be another one?
Oh, yeah. There's going to be another one. There's got to be.
Well yeah, because that new man's going to be the Joker. So he's going to be the new Joker in the new Robert Pattinson one?
Barry Keoghan's also in the next Marvel movie we're watching.
Wow. Jumping across the franchise.
Okay, so then we'll get to know him.
Yeah. What's the next one we're watching?
Eternals.
Oh, interesting.
He is one of the Eternals.
Oh.
Okay.
You said that sentence and I have zero idea what
I was
that
like,
means.
It's meaningless.
I was like, well, I guess I'll find out later.
I was like, do I already know what that is? Like, I don't think I do. Oh my God.
It's a group of heroes and honestly, it's their vibes only. Like I picked up the comic to research them and I didn't know what was happening, but I just went with it.
Great.
Okay.
That's been my approach. It's time for our Daily Bugle segment.
Wah, wah, wah.
This is our news segment this season where we give a recap of what's been going on lately in the MCU. Manny Montana from Good Girls, which is a show I was on, he's a very nice man, has joined the Disney Plus series Ironheart as a series regular. Wow.
And we just learned about for him. Ironheart.
Yes, we did. That's a really good job for him. That's really exciting.
Did you get to work with Manny?
I did, and we spoke in a little room in folding chairs, and he was very nice. And
oh, that's nice. That's a good memory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's another piece of news. Director Destin Daniel Cretton is set to produce a Marvel series for Disney Plus with Andrew Guest as a head writer. The series is reportedly centered on the Marvel hero Wonder Man.
Wonder Man?
Ew.
Why has that been a thing forever?
What? Isn't Wonder Woman DC?
I'm Googling.
And then Wonder Man is Marvel? Seems like someone stole from someone.
For sure. Okay. Wonder Man first appeared in 1964. And I'm going to find out about Wonder Woman.
Okay.
1941, bitch.
Wow. You know what?
Like, I'm so invested.
Wonder Man, he can kind of get it. I'm here for this dark hair, this big old W. He's got thighs for days. Yeah, I'm here for him.
Yeah, he's very aggressive looking, actually. And then in the sort of newer version, he has like laser eyes.
Mm, yes. Burn me up, daddy.
Burn me up, daddy. In a recent interview, Kevin Feige said that fans will start to get a better idea of where the next phases of the MCU are heading in the coming months. He said, I think there have been many clues already, but there are at least apparent to me of where this whole saga is going. Okay. We'll be a little more direct about that in the coming months to set a plan so audiences who want to see the bigger picture can see a tiny, tiny, tiny bit more of the roadmap. Thanks, Kevin.
All right, Kevin. You told us nothing with a lot of words.
You really did.
Maybe Kevin is hinting that me and Lauren are joining in the MCU and we just can't tell you yet.
That's probably what he's getting at. And I think that's why he asked us to read that on this podcast.
He called me up last night. I said, oh,
someone tweeted
Kevin, you gotta stop calling.
Like the Ant-Man something there's some new Ant-Man thing where they have a podcast in it. And then people were like, they need to have Nicole and Lauren be on the podcast within the show or something.
Wait, the new Ant-Man, is it? The new movie has a podcast in it?
No, in the first episode of Ms. Marvel, they show that Ant-Man has a podcast now.
Oh, I see.
It's really a little bit insulting because I kind of feel like they scooped us.
Yeah. Ant-Man having a podcast also feels like it's just the same as all these big celebs doing podcasts. Mm-hmm. Like, you're a superhero. You don't need this.
You don't
Stop.
Need a podcast. That is so funny. Like when a very famous person is like, I think I'm on audition for a Herald team. I mean, he wasn't very famous. There was someone on Herald Night that I was like, I don't think you need this.
Clearly thinking of someone very specific. Yeah.
I am.
Oh, my God.
Whitmer, do you have anything to say about this news?
I think we need to take a break. We're getting to Wonder Man. It's time for us to just, 10 years off from these kinds
we
of movies.
We got to reset.
Restart with old Captain America 10 years from now.
I think you're right.
I think
Wonder
you're
Man,
right.
What the hell? It's a mess.
We're just digging back into the archives. Mm-hmm. And, it feels, I mean... I wonder when they would ever, if they ever would create a new superhero that has not been seen in any of the Marvel comic books. Is that possible?
But there's so many. Like, you know how Sean brought up, like, I can't remember the one that he brought up for you,
right.
But Pretty Persuasion. Like, there's so many.
Mine was like Birdman or something really hideous. But yeah, I'll accept it.
Well, last night we were watching, me and Mitra were watching Terminator 2. And she was just like, when was the last time there was like a new idea like this?
I know. Mm-hmm. I know.
Even though that was still a sequel, but just like Terminator, the idea of Terminator was new. She's like, when was the last time? Was it like all we could think of was Parasite, which is like,
right.
Those characters in that whole scheme was kind of like a new style
of story.
It was
very rash.
Yeah.
It's such a good movie. How about Minions? You know?
Oh, Minions. New. That's true. Minions is new.
Little Pixar is doing all sorts of things that are new.
Yeah. Seeing Red is a great movie.
I loved that movie.
We got the Lightyear movie.
I'm curious about it.
I mean, I'm curious. I'm sure I'll see it.
I mean, that is a new idea. A movie about the man that inspired a toy that thinks he's real, but is just a toy.
But here's what I felt confused about. With that, and I don't know anything about it, and I haven't seen the trailer. So I'm just saying this just based on what I've heard. I don't know. How often is it that there's a toy based on a man?
Well, that's not even what it is about.
Oh, okay, it's not?
No, it is about a movie that exists in the Toy Story universe that Andy watches and loves before we ever meet Andy. And then Andy buys the Buzz Lightyear.
Oh, so the person is the actor within the film?
No, nope.
Okay.
It is the movie.
The movie.
Oh,
that
this
Andy
is.
Watches. Oh, that Andy likes.
This is the movie.
Yeah, so.
That's better than what I thought.
So people are getting so frustrated with how confusing it is that they're, because they're asking for their money back at theaters. And if you, this is true. And if you Google it, there's a letter that some movie theaters are handing out to people for them to read before they watch the movie.
Wow.
So that they don't get frustrated and ask for their money back to explain.
That is so funny because
really
it does.
Really funny.
You had to say it four times before I really started to catch on. And But I do like it now that I understand.
Wait, I don't think I... Wait, okay. So it's like, a movie.
It's like... Buzz Lightyear is a toy from a movie.
Yes. Yeah, so I like watch Captain Marvel and I buy the Captain Marvel doll.
Yeah.
So we're watching the we're watching Captain Marvel in Pixar universe or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I get it. That's
But that is layered.
It is pretty layered. Because I thought it was a toy's origin story.
Me too, which I was like, why? But then I also feel like then you might need the explanation at the top because it's just going to launch into the movie. It just is mm-hmm. the movie about this guy.
And kids are going wanting to see Tim Allen be kind of funny. And,
and you know, kids love Tim Allen.
I mean, I did. When I was a kid, if I saw Tim Allen, I thought that's a reliable, that's laughs.
This was, Patricia Heaton was like saying people, they fucked up by not including Tim Allen.
I think
something.
She tweeted that Buzz Lightyear was castrated because it wasn't voiced by Tim Allen.
Yeah.
Which is such a funny, interesting use of the word castration to the point where I don't think she knows what it means.
It's a really intense thing to say about a cartoon.
A cartoon.
That also was made, you know, so long ago. It's okay to like change it up and stuff.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Patty Heaton, she needs to get a hobby.
That was really intense. Also, I was like, what are the stakes for her? I was curious why she was coming out saying that.
Yeah, this is why celebrities shouldn't have Twitter, or they maybe should age out of Twitter or something.
I was actually thinking this last night that I feel like there should be some sort of like we need to stop. I think everyone needs to stop. It's just I'm addicted.
I do love it, but we should just get off Twitter.
Twitter should be deleted. Like it should just be gone.
I remember being a kid in a band on tour, and there was no social media, and just kind of thinking, well, we're going to North Carolina. Hope people go to the show.
Yeah.
Like having no idea what I was about to walk into.
And that's kind of great.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I think in some ways you still feel that way with social media with a show where it's like you promote the show and you're like, I hope people come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you get there and you're like, oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
But like it's like,
I hope people come. Okay, good.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break. We'll jump back into Spider-Man Far From Home.
If you're wondering what a NordVPN is, I'll tell you. VPN stands for Virtual Private Network, a service that protects your internet connection and online privacy. A VPN creates an encrypted tunnel for your data. Protect your online identity by hiding your IP address and allow you to use public Wi-Fi hotspots safely. I'm using a NordVPN myself. And honestly, it's very easy to use. You connect with one click to enable auto connect for zero click protection. It has amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there, and it supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, Linux, even Android TV. You can switch your virtual location to access apps and websites in other countries. Get an exclusive NordVPN deal here at nordvpn.com/newcomers. NordVPN.com/newcomers. It's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Link is in the episode description.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we're back.
So this movie was written by Chris McKenna and Eric Summers, directed by John Watts, released July 2nd, 2019.
That's very recent.
Yeah. Almost too recent.
It's probably why we liked it more, though.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Well, let's jump into the plot and we'll discuss what we thought of everything. So in Mexico, Nick Fury and Maria Hill arrived to investigate the aftermath of what appears to be a sandstorm that, according to reports, had a face. They are interrupted by a distressed man in a cape named Quentin Beck, Jake Gyllenhaal, who tells them that they don't want any part of this.
Okay, here's the thing. Jake Gyllenhaal does not have a face of a superhero or a villain. He is the face of a very hot man doing just normal things. He looked so silly in that costume. Every time he spoke, I giggled.
It did feel like an interesting casting. I also was like, I think I missed, there was some information, and everyone can call me dumb, I don't care, but I like thought he was Spider-Man at some point.
He almost was. There's a great Wikipedia page, I'm sure, about what happened with Jake Gyllenhaal in the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies.
Oh, okay.
Wait, tell us.
So they did a whole Entourage season about this, based on this.
The Aquaman situation?
Yeah.
Okay, because I watched all of Entourage.
So
which is so funny to me, Lauren. Your taste in TV thrills me to no end.
I've seen it multiple times
it
all the way through.
Chilling, yeah, to know what you're watching.
Yeah, Entourage is really good. I don't know what to tell you.
It provides, you know, I just feel great watching it. I've seen it probably three times all the way through.
Yeah, I think I have too. It's just a great show.
Yeah. But I think what happened was Toby was having a hard time because he had hurt his back. He wanted more money, or his agents did, or something. I don't know what happened. And anyway, so they cast Jake Gyllenhaal. They even announced it.
Okay, so maybe that's why it's in my brain.
And then this is for Spider-Man 2. And then Toby changed his mind and came back. But it was uncomfortable because Toby and Kirsten dated in the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And then they broke up. And then she was dating Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh,
and then they were going to cast him in the second movie.
That is awkward.
Wow, juicy.
And then Toby came back.
Oh, yeah.
Juicy,
weird.
juicy.
That's
and when
weird.
I was a kid, I when I was a little kid and that this was all happening, I thought Tobey Maguire and Jake Gyllenhaal were the same person.
I feel like in my head, I could have put him into the whole Spider-Man thing and been like, yeah, that's what I saw. And it was Tobey Maguire, even though I do know who they are. But so I was sort of thinking, I was mixing up a couple things that we've talked about. And you know how there's like at some point, all three Spider-Men are together.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, is he one of them? And then this is going to be, I truly was like, I was getting ahead of myself and like not listening to like what he was saying.
His first line's like, I'm not Spider-Man. And Lauren's like, is he Spider-Man?
So at some point I think he's going to point at him. Yeah. That did not happen in this film, but I did Google when that will happen. And it was not in this.
Okay, so in New York City, Peter Parker's classmates, Betty and Jason, organize a tribute to the fallen Avengers and explain the blip. The new term for the 5 years between Thanos' snap and the return of half the population. This little segment made me laugh pretty hard.
I loved it.
It was really fucking cute.
Yeah, it was adorable. And I liked how they explained it.
Yes.
Like, it was like they did it as a morning news, you know, at school, morning announcement. And it was very clear, like, you know, because we were talking about how the previous movie is like very complicated with all of the timelines and everything. And this was like the simplest movie right afterwards. And they just go, some people aged 5 years, some people look the same. I was like, great.
And I loved how like just like down to like the nitty gritty, like the smallest little details, like my brother came back and I'm younger than my brother or whatever.
Yeah,
I came
back and my little brother is older than me or whatever. Yeah.
I was like, oh boy, you are really explaining this. I get it. I love it.
Yes.
So Peter is busy brainstorming ways to tell MJ he has a crush on her during their impending European field trip. I didn't have a European field trip in high school. Did you guys?
Nope.
I did get to do something ready.
Oh.
In middle school, I was in some sort of club that went to England and Scotland.
What was the club, Lauren?
I think it, well, like, I can't remember if it was like a reading club. It probably was. And
I always see that in movies and I'm like, nobody in my school went to Europe together as a school.
Yeah, this was like special and we went to England and Scotland as like, I think there were like probably 30 kids or something. And it was really awesome. But
we went to space camp. That's about it for us.
Where was that?
That was in Alabama where I'm from. But
wow.
It was fun. That was the
like
only
fun.
Trip. And that was in fifth grade. So
did you get to do zero gravity?
No, we just, we basically got, all I remember is that we got put in one of those roller coasters that's sort of like virtual reality.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And
oh, that's fun.
It spins you around. And then we ate like what you eat in space. And we stayed the night there. And we stayed with a cop. and the cop who we stayed with is now in prison for
You know,
that's
fun. So anyway, he attends a charity event organized by his Aunt May,
who has the amazing Marissa Tomei, but she has like amazing long hair and has like 70s outfit. She's so cute. I love it.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
Where reporters ask if he's going to be the next Iron Man, and Happy Hogan, an insane name, tells him that Nick Fury is trying to contact him.
It's so weird when he enters the room and they're like, Happy. It's like a crazy thing to say.
Yeah, it's wild.
I love Aunt May in this movie.
She's so beautiful. I love Marissa Tomei. One of my favorite movies is My Cousin Vinny, and she's so fucking
good
in it.
I've never seen that.
Holy hell.
Lauren, it is so good.
It has come up so many times recently. I have to watch this.
It's so good.
I'm excited.
What's her deal? Doesn't she drink like 40 glasses of water every morning?
Does she?
She talked about it somewhere.
To be pretty or something?
Yeah, she drinks like a pool's worth of water every morning right when she wakes up.
Well, I think I have to start doing that because she truly looks so good.
She looks amazing. She really does. And I loved her wardrobe. So Peter's plan to bond with MJ on the flight to Venice fails. This was very cute. They had the whole like trying to switch seats. I just loved this.
Yeah, it was cute.
And then instead of him getting to sit next to MJ, his best friend Ned and Betty end up on the plane together and they become a couple. And while the class is sightseeing, a water monster emerges and attacks the Grand Canal. Peter grabs a temporary mask, like a, you know,
a Mardi Gras mask.
Yeah. And tries to stop it and assisted by Beck, who the local news leader calls Mysterio.
This was fun, I think.
I thought it was very fun. I thought the water monster, I wasn't catching on to that plot at all. I was like, okay, now we have this kind of thing is going to get everyone. Like it did feel like next level. Like, how are you supposed to stop that? And who is that?
But apparently, my friend told me the water monster is like an actual villain in the comics and not just something made up by Mysterio.
Oh.
I think. Leah, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, so I know things.
What's the name of that water guy? Hydro?
I think it might be like Hydro Man.
Okay.
That's funny. Hydro Man.
I know a lot about these comics, and I remember watching it for the first time, not really being too sure what was going on. I thought they were establishing like Sandman and Hydro Man.
Wait, Hydro Man's like an actual person. Hang on a second.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, but that's what it says. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, well, I did think it was pretty scary, and I was like, and so at this point, Peter like didn't bring his Spider-Man costume.
But then he did, right? Wasn't he at like customs or something? Did the lady take it?
Well, because May, no, she just took a banana out and she was like, you're not allowed to have this, but you're allowed to keep your Spider-Man costume. But Aunt May had put his like crusty one in the bag and she was like, don't forget this. I don't know where he got the black one from.
He got the black one from, I think, Nick Fury.
Oh, when he sees him later. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, that's one of my favorite jokes, what they keep calling him throughout the movie.
What?
Night Monkey?
Yeah.
Right. Night Monkey. Yeah.
Love that.
It is funny. So that night, Nick Fury meets Peter in his hotel room and takes him to meet Mysterio. I like this scene where people kept interrupting. That made me chuckle.
I liked it as well.
He tells them that the creatures are elementals from an alternate dimension who killed his family. And I think this is the first time that the multiverse is brought up. Right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. Look at me. Knowing shit.
Yeah.
But wild that they do that and then it's a lie, but then like three movies later it's not a lie that there's multiple. Yeah.
Well, is it because Mysterio, do you think maybe Iron Man knew about like the multiverse and maybe told some of the people working there the multiverse?
Maybe, because he identifies this universe as 616, which is the same thing they say in Doctor Strange, which is a wild coincidence.
I don't, maybe it's not a coincidence. Maybe Mysterio did know it because he does his like own research. Look at me fucking.
Yeah. You're like so fan theories. I'm like, I'm just letting you roll.
Well, what is happening?
He's very smart as we've established. He knows more than all of us. So we can just take him at his word.
Okay. So they determined that the last elemental, which is really strange to see written out, will arrive in Prague. Fury arranges for Peter's class trip to be redirected to Prague instead of Paris so that they can fight the elementals and maintain his secret identity. Fury also gives Peter something that Tony Stark left for him.
Yeah, so I thought, I was getting kind of sad because I wanted Peter to be able to give MJ the necklace on the Eiffel Tower.
Yes.
Yeah, but so it's not happening. And then he opens the gift on the bus to Prague and finds Stark's Edith glasses.
You better Even believe dead, they're tinted.
I'm the hero was the acronym. And at a guest stop, yeah, they're tinted Robert Downey Jr. sunglasses. And Peter receives a new stealth suit. Okay, well, this was a whole crazy thing first. He puts on the glasses. Mm-hmm. And he could read everyone's text messages.
Which is pretty invasive.
I thought so, too. And what does he need with that info? But his classmate, he gets a new stealth suit, and his classmate Brad Davis, Remy High, catches Very him undressing handsome. In front of a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, takes a pic, and threatens to show it to MJ so that she'll date him instead of Peter. Yeah, that guy is really cute. Panicking, Peter inadvertently authorizes a drone strike while asking Edith to stop Brad from sending the picture. Fury lectures him when they get to Prague, and Mysterio consoles him, which was so kind.
Mm-hmm. Very, very kind. Takes him out. Wait, no. Is that when he takes him out?
I was thinking that was when he takes him to the bar or whatever.
But that's later.
No, they're on like a roof.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So in Prague, Peter arranges for most of his class to go to the opera so that they'll be out of danger during the elemental attack. But MJ, Ned, and Betty sneak out. The lava monster elemental attacks, and Mysterio ultimately saves the day. He and Peter go for a drink, where Peter hands over the Edith glasses to Mysterio, a worthier successor to Iron Man in his eyes.
Now, what can you explain to me what happened when at the part where they're in the bar and then he puts on the glasses and then Peter leaves? He then, like, Jake Gyllenhaal, like, turns everything purple, and he's like, I didn't understand what he was doing. Do you know
An
what I'm
illusion.
Talking about?
Yeah, so he was, like, projecting some of the bar there, which feels excessive.
I think it was because I didn't understand that whole plot yet, and so I was like, I don't get that. And then it just stayed in my head that I didn't understand that.
So once he's gone, Mysterio drops the act. We learn that Quentin Beck is actually a former Stark Industries employee who developed the illusion tech that Tony Stark demonstrated at MIT in Captain America's Civil War. I did like the part where he was like, he named my life's work Blart or whatever.
Barf. Yeah.
Barf, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. He teamed up with the other disgruntled Stark Industry workers, including the man that Obadiah Stane, is that his name?
Yeah.
Yelled at all the way back in Iron Man. It was so nice to see Obadiah, who I find incredibly sexy.
Oh, yeah, you love that character.
I loved Obadiah. When he appeared on screen, I went, ooh, yes, Obadiah, to create a believable fake superhero with real damage using illusions, drones, and a writer.
That was pretty fun once that was all revealed. Mm-hmm. I thought, this is pretty cute. It does feel very geared toward a younger audience. True?
Maybe I not. Thought it was geared towards people who had seen all of the movies and they're calling back teeny tiny bit characters to be like, oh, that guy. Ooh, that guy.
Yeah. I mean, I to be fair, I loved the movie as far as these movies go. But I felt like it was like, it's all a trick. Oh. Like, it felt kind of like.
No, I get you. I feel that too. It's all tricks over here. Tricks are for kids.
And like, Jake Gyllenhaal was kind of over the top in that way where he's like, I'm just a loser. So back at the hotel, Peter goes for a walk with MJ. Love this part. Mm-hmm. Right when he's about to tell her how he feels, she guesses that he is Spider-Man and shows him a projector she picked up off the street with his webbing on it. It activates, revealing to Peter that Mysterio has been lying and that he's made a huge mistake. He then tells her for real that he is Spider-Man. Meanwhile, Mysterio, who's rehearsing an attack on London, discovers the missing projector.
Pretty funny to be rehearsing and then that woman was steaming the cape.
Oh, yeah. I thought this was all really cute. Like, the love story with MJ.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel much more invested in the Zendaya-Tom Holland relationship now.
I
went and Googled pictures of them, and I was like, now I understand why everyone cares.
They're so cute together. I'm rooting for them to stick together
for
the indefinite future, yes.
I love it when superheroes, people figure out this superhero's identity. Because I feel like people would know.
Right, right.
It's
like when you see him, there was a part where he was jumping around in that little,
Mardi Gras mask?
Yeah. And it was like, that's our friend.
Exactly.
You can tell someone's body.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't even see y'all every day or ever. Right? I've seen maybe once, maybe once a year in the last couple of years. But if y'all were wearing a mask and bouncing around town and talking to me, I'd be like, sounds like Nicole and Lauren.
Yeah, I think I would really be able to figure that out. So that was kind of fucking weird. But I liked that she was the only one who's kind of picking up on it. And then I thought that was kind of cute when they show the, like, they kind of figure out what the projector is doing.
Again, I loved when they saw the projector and truly line by line told me exactly what was going on in this movie. And I said, thank you so much.
I also agree. I loved that.
I also really loved on the bus when he jumped out. He said, look at baby goats, jumped up, Webb shot that drone and then landed. And I was like, nobody saw him do that. Not one person was like, I don't care about goats.
Was moving forward.
Yes.
But he somehow got back in the sunroof exactly up and down.
I mean, truly wild. Okay. So Peter goes to Berlin to tell Nick Fury and Maria Hill, who has she been in other movies? Who is she?
Yes.
She has been?
Yeah. She was in Avengers, Captain America Winter Soldier, a couple others,
I think. So she's been in quite a few, and I've just not registered her.
But yeah, she's a very, very small role. For Cobie Smulders, who, like, I would recognize because of How I Met Your Mother and stuff. But yeah, in these movies, she's very much in the background.
I
remember
forgot.
She was like when everyone started dissolving. She was
she was with Nick Fury.
Yeah.
Okay, Colby, I'm really sorry I didn't recognize you if you're listening.
It's okay.
Okay, so
I said it's okay for her. It's okay.
You're her representative. You're her publicist. But he's intercepted by Mysterio himself. He uses illusions, which I thought was pretty cool, to pretend to be Fury, torture Peter with nightmarish images, and pretend to be Fury a second time until Peter ultimately gives up the names of his classmates who know about him. Mysterio tosses Peter towards an oncoming train and has Edith redirect the class trip a second time to London. I love this scene. I thought it was really fucking fun. And then it was like giving me like Doctor Strange vibes. And then like very Doctor Strange, the second movie vibes.
Yeah. I liked how he confessed like who his friend, like he thought it was Nick Fury. And he's like telling him who all these people know. And then he's like, I'm not actually him. You fucking idiot.
You stupid child.
Thought that was great. And I also was like, definitely way more people know then. If you just named four.
Man, if I had to go all through all this shit when I was a junior in high school or whatever, I'd fucking kill myself. No doubt in my mind, I would kill myself.
He seems pretty optimistic.
He's so optimistic at all times. He's like, I'll do it. No, I could do it.
Yeah.
I like Tom Holland.
I know, he's really charming. I'm shocked.
He's a cutie.
I didn't know. Peter wakes up in a friendly holding cell in the Netherlands. He is released and asks a stranger to let him call Happy Hogan on his phone. He comes to his aid and the two develop a plan and a new suit to stop Beck and save his classmates.
Again, another cute scene when he breaks that lock, goes out, and the guys in the jail are like, oh, we'll stay here. This is the Netherlands. We follow rules. We're very kind. I think I want to go on a trip there.
Yeah, it's great.
Have you been?
Yeah, have you never been?
I've never been to the Netherlands.
You should definitely go.
It looks really pretty.
Yeah, it is really pretty.
And were people that friendly to you?
I feel that they were. I don't really recall anyone being a dick.
Okay, I'm going to go. Okay, so Mysterio launches an attack on the Thames. I can't believe I almost said that.
You almost had it right. Yeah.
Who would have thought? With the scariest elemental yet, Peter flies into the middle of it, trying to get inside the drones, causing the illusion. Happy, meanwhile, rescues Peter's classmates, gets them to safety. When Peter gets Mysterio on the bridge, he uses his Peter Tingle, aka Spider Sense, to combat the drones. Mysterio tries to trick him one last time. This is so intense, and I loved it. But Peter doesn't buy it. He takes back the Edith glasses and calls the attack off as the drones misfire and hit Mysterio.
This might have been my favorite fight, like battle scene that we've seen. Because it was like fake. He didn't know what was fake and what was real. And he's like battling these like computer images.
Yeah. I really liked it. And then when Mysterio was like on the ground, I was like, oh shit, is he giving up that easily? I was actually tricked. And then when he was like, can't fool me anymore, I was like, wow. Wow. You love to see it.
Hmm? Whitmer, how did you feel about this battle?
I loved all these fight scenes. They're my favorite. You know, until the next movie, my favorite Spider-Man fight scenes in these new movies. I just thought it was like a really fun. This movie's I feel for some reason like this movie's underrated in the Star Wars.
I feel like it is.
I mean, sorry, whatever it is, Marvel.
MCU. Like, yeah. I feel like it all was fine. I was like, yeah, that's what we're talking about, basically.
Yeah, I was like, whatever. It's the universe, whatever.
But it does feel like it's underrated because everyone I mentioned it to was
it was bad.
And I was like, actually, it's good. And it's like not as long as these other ones. Like, it was just like, I enjoyed it.
And I like all the MJ and Ned.
Me too.
Stuff.
Yes. Ned and Ned's adorable. Betty are very funny together.
I know.
I
and
like
that
the whole
girl,
babe thing. She's great.
She's great. And she's in Senior Year, that new movie on Netflix.
Oh, that's fun.
She plays young Rebel Wilson. Yeah.
Oh, she's great.
She's great. So Peter meets MJ on the ground and they kiss.
I loved it. I loved it.
Oh, yeah. No, it was great. When they get back to New York, Ned and Betty announce that they've broken up very casually. They're like, no. Sometime later, Peter confronts Happy and May about their relationship and leaves to go on a date with MJ when it gets awkward.
And I did love him zooming her around through the city. Like, that was so cute.
That was really
cute. She was like, never again.
She screamed. Yeah.
Ugh, I loved it. Okay, so in the mid-credit scene, Peter and MJ witness a news report in which online reporter J. Jonah Jameson, J.K. Simmons of the Daily Bugle release a deep faked. Oh, it's a deep faked video? I thought Mysterio just, like, made the video willy-nilly.
Yeah.
That makes it look like Spider-Man was responsible for the drone attack and Mysterio's death. Also, he leaks his fucking name. Oh, that dude who like uploaded something. Did he do that? Did he make it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
And
I
then,
really paid attention to this movie.
No, yeah, me too. I didn't have an answer for
I might be taking liberties by calling it deepfaked, to
oh, okay.
be honest.
Because I thought it was like
heavily
acting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. And then in the post-credit scene, Nick Fury and Maria Hill are revealed to be Skrull impersonators Talos and Sorin, operating on Earth at Fury's behest as he is on a mission in space.
See, this was like, what the fuck?
It's I didn't realize so... he
was. That was confusing. Yeah. I kind of liked it, but then I also it did explain why Nick Fury kept getting like fooled and tricked because he seems to like know all, see all. But also, what is he doing in space? And why was he on the beach? And I loved when he was like, "Where are my shoes at?" That really got me good. I said, where are his shoes?
Yeah, I thought that that scene lost me a little bit, but the other one where he like Spider-Man like jumps up onto the lamppost and watches the news on the thing, I thought that was cute. Then I was like, he's like, one part I didn't get though was that he was like, I gotta go, MJ. Like his date was like, he goes, sorry I'm late. Then he flipped her all around town and then he's like, I gotta go. I'm like, that wasn't like a date. Like, what were you meeting up to do? And then he jumps up on a lamppost and just sits there. And I was like, are you going somewhere? Like, I was like, she can still see you. Like, pretend you have somewhere
to you. Yeah, I'd be devastated if someone went on a date and they're like, bye. And then walked 20 feet and stood there.
Yeah. I know. But then I felt sad for him when he saw he was being, his identity was revealed.
Yeah.
That sounds stressful.
It does sound stressful. And then I was like, that man who revealed it, I was like, you're a full-grown adult. Like, that's a kid. Leave that kid alone.
I know.
He wants to swing around with spider webs.
It's true.
So let's just, like, get into some awards. Far From Home wasn't nominated for any major awards. But Tom and Zendaya both won awards at the Teen Choice Awards, People's Choice Award, and Saturn Awards.
Well, that's nice.
Deservedly so.
Yeah. The reception was that Far From Home was the first Spider-Man film to gross over $1 billion.
Dear
Jesus.
Lord.
Yeah, wow.
So much money. And also was the highest grossing Sony film worldwide.
So Sony probably won't give up those rights anytime soon. They'll just probably continue their like collaboration with Marvel.
Yeah.
Okay, so the film holds 90% on Rotten Tomatoes, just slightly lower than Homecoming's 92% rating. Alonso Dolorade? That's probably not right. I'm sorry, Alonzo. Of the Rap said that the film feels like a charming teen road trip comedy that occasionally turns into a superhero movie.
And that's why we liked
Alonzo, it. Alonzo, yes.
Oh my God. Okay, well, let's take a quick break and we'll get back into more Far From Home. And we're back. Now, here's some little trivia for you to enjoy. Now, the letters BFP on Peter's suitcase at around the 10-minute mark is a reference to Benjamin Franklin Parker, Peter Parker's Uncle Ben.
Interesting, because I was like, why the fuck does he not have a Rolly suitcase?
Yeah. Yeah. I noticed the initials, but I didn't see that it said BFP. I thought it said P. And then I was like, I was going to rewind. And then I thought, I don't have time to be rewinding, trying to see what his initials are. What am I
doing?
Someone
will tell you later.
Yeah. Benjamin Franklin Parker. That's a funny name.
It's a very funny name. The song Happy plays while Peter is making his new suit is Back in Black by AC/DC, though Peter incorrectly identifies it as Led Zeppelin.
I thought that was a funny joke.
It was such a teenage thing to do.
Well, it was like a teenager being like, I love Led Zeppelin. And it's like, that's not what's playing. But you're...
It's funny because I didn't know it was not Led Zeppelin.
Yeah,
I mean, it works both ways. This is the same song that plays under the opening scene in the original Iron Man movie from 2008 when Tony makes his first appearance.
Aww. I thought that too. And then I was like, do we not have more songs? Like, I just was a little bit like, there are so many good songs.
Do we not have more songs? That's really like, funny.
Because it was the same within Thor where they used that Led Zeppelin song twice. And I thought, it would be more fun to just use some more songs. There's so many good songs.
Maybe they can't afford them.
That's probably what it is. They only made $1 billion making this movie.
Right.
Tom Holland also studied the scene when he's like reaching his arm into the thing. He studied some scenes from Iron Man to like do it the same way that Robert Downey Jr. does.
He's very good at these stunts and things like that.
Yeah.
He's very tapped in.
Oh, yeah. My guy, he can bounce all over town. He's really,
I know.
I watched a video of him doing all these flips and jumps. And
I saw that and I was very amazed. I don't understand how he naturally, it's like he got into this before he knew he could do that, I kind of assume.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think he was a gymnast when he was a kid.
Oh.
So.
Oh, yeah. He was like a dancer and he was a.
Oh, right, because he was in
Billy Elliot.
He was in Billy Elliot. Okay, the Netherlands tulip field scene was filmed in a grass field in the UK. It required around 2 million digital tulips.
I literally wrote in my notes, if you go to the Netherlands, find that tulip field, because I thought it was
so pretty.
Well, you
can. There actually are places.
Oh,
like that.
Okay.
That's why they made it. But I don't know why they had to make it up.
Oh, maybe
it was off season or something.
Oh, maybe. Or, well, it was in the UK and not the Netherlands.
Oh, they only filmed in the UK.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This piece of trivia. Ooh, this got me good. Jake Gyllenhaal is almost never seen wearing anything other than his full superhero suit throughout the movie because he loved wearing the suit so much. He didn't want to wear nothing else. I love that.
Wow.
He seems to be having a blast just as an actor, just doing stuff he just kind of feels passionate about, and he's going to have some fun doing it.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fun. So he, instead of having his character have multiple outfits, he was like, I'll just keep wearing this.
Yeah.
But you can catch a glimpse of him in character in street clothes spying on Peter Parker just before Hydro Man attacks. So
wow.
It was Hydro Man. He's in like a little Hawaiian shirt.
Didn't clock it.
Sly.
He looks good.
I really
like him as a regular man. That's hot. I'm here.
Yeah,
for
he's
this.
Extremely good looking. He's a very famous celebrity.
Mm. Oh, he is? No, I think he's got a great career ahead of him. This is a great first entry into his career. I just didn't find him attractive in that superhero. There's something about Jake Gyllenhaal.
Well, yeah.
I think his face is too maybe. I don't know. Maybe
he has a more real look about him in a way.
Yeah.
He has a unique face, but it's kind of like, it's uniquely handsome.
Yeah.
He's not cut and cookie cutter model.
No.
Yeah.
Like he could be a model or like live in the woods and chop wood.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. This segment is Chris in this? Was a Chris in this film? Should a Chris been in this film? Wait,
so do we have any Chris? Hemsworth wasn't Hemsworth in it for two or was that
no he does talk about how he like met Thor and now studies Thor in school.
No one was in this.
No.
Well, okay, Whitmer, was there any Chris, Christine, Kristen or any other variation of that should have been in this film in the world?
Yeah, probably. I feel like Chris Evans. Oh, wait, he's dead at this point. He's old.
He passed
on. Well, then I think he should be around just as an old guy, you know, fishing and stuff.
Oh, I would have loved that.
Oh, that would have been fun.
Nice.
I want to see just old man Captain America. What's his name again? What's the character's name?
Steve Andrews. Steve Rogers. There we go.
Steve Rogers. I would love just to see a movie of old man Steve Rogers getting in touch with his old old man in America, going to the same little cafe that. Every day, going fishing. Just
it would have been cute if he was like on vacation in one of the places they were like taking photos and just being there. He's like, I'm just exploring.
Honestly, just having a peaceful time.
If they did another Captain America, but they showed his life when he went back in time, and then while he was old, had to like reprise being Captain America, I would fuck with that movie heavy. I think would be great.
That would be really good.
Yeah.
But I do think a Chris could have been in this. Chris Christie. Here is a new segment.
Double Chris.
Is a kiss in this? There was indeed a kiss.
There was a great kiss. And I loved the romantic subplot of the film.
I really did.
I thought it was fantastic. And that was what really kept me in, you know, kept me invested.
Yeah, it just felt like, I mean, it's not like, Clueless by any means, but it felt like a great teen movie that happened to be about like a superhero, you know?
Yeah, I loved it. It was very, very charming. Now is our segment, Five Stark Industries, where we read five-star reviews of our own podcast. This is a five-star review from Katie.Pete. Gimme More by Britney Spears. Every episode could be 3 hours long and I would still listen. Every time Lauren and Nicole say they need to speed up the summary, I ask why. Because I want to hear every thought these ladies have. You guys sit through these 5 million-hour long movies for us, and I'd be willing more than willing to sit and listen to you dissect them for just about as much time. I love this podcast.
Well, Katie, I'll give you one more thing right now. Ned's wig bothered me in this movie. I forgot to say that.
Ned's wig?
Ned is wearing a terribly ventilated wig. You cannot see the part. And it's wild.
Why did he have a wig? Do you think he shaved his head for something else or something?
I think he's a bald-headed friend.
He is bald! I just Googled him, and now I understand. Every photo is a man who is bald.
It's funny to me that they give him a wig from, like, 1994.
Yeah.
That kind of
vibe. I think it's because in
haircut.
The comics, that's his hair.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but I, you know what? I never noticed it. I just didn't think about it.
If you do happen to rewatch the movie, just look at the. You cannot see any parts, no scalp, nothing. It's terrible.
Yeah, I'm looking
at
a picture now. But that is pretty cool that he's bald, and I had no idea. Okay, so in addition to Apple reviews and newcomers, we're going to be also reading reviews from Letterboxd. So this is the time where we give a one-sentence review of the film and a star rating of the film. Whitmer, would you like to give a one-sentence review for this movie?
I'd say it's a really fun date movie and an underrated story in the Star Wars, Marvel.
You want to call it Star Wars?
Marvel Cinematic Universe canon.
Okay, that's great. And how many stars do you give this?
Oh, right. I would give it eight stars.
Wow, that's a lot. Off the charts.
Lauren?
I would say cutest Marvel movie by far. Delightful rom-com with a twist of superhero magic.
Mm-hmm.
I would
How
give
many
it
stars?
Five stars.
Yes!
Is it my favorite one? It might be.
I love this.
Wait, hold on. Y'all do 5 stars? I was thinking 10.
You thought it was out of 10?
I like eight. I wanted it to be eight.
Okay, that's cool. What I want.
You can't change it. Sorry, those are the rules.
Yeah. All right.
I'm going to give it 4 stars. I really liked it. I think people who don't like this movie just don't like fun. I do think it's like a little cheesy at times, but like I really fucking loved it.
Yeah.
It was fun. A fun little romp in the sun. I just want to read this review by Sophie because it's very funny to me. So Sophie's review on Letterboxd said, convinced Jake Gyllenhaal has never seen another Marvel movie in his life. He just showed up, acted deranged, and got his check.
That does feel accurate.
There's an interview that's pretty funny, like a little clip of an interview where they're like, what's your favorite Marvel movie, Jake? And I think he tries to think of one, and it's very clear he's never seen one. And then Tom Holland goes, I like Thor. And he goes, I love Thor. I love Thor, too.
Oh my God. Tom Holland saved
him. I love it.
Something like that happens. Okay.
I honestly feel like if I got cast in something that I had no idea what was going on, I would watch at least one thing. You have to like have something to say.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's scary. all right. Well, everyone out there, please rate us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It helps the show in various ways that cannot be explained. And Whitmer, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, y'all. It was good seeing y'all.
It was great. Do you have anything you would like to plug?
No. No, right, I mean, well, you just like, you know, follow right. me on check out what I'm, just pay attention to me online.
Yeah, one, you also need to listen to Corked, okay?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to tell you about Corked, everyone. It's HeadGum's new scripted podcast, a quote-unquote true crime comedy podcast set in Napa Valley about a brash winemaker with a secret past, his missing girlfriend, and a jilted roughneck from Louisiana who pulls an investigative journalist into a mystery that quickly consumes his life and career. Think Comedy Bang Bang meets S-Town and Fargo. The cast includes Anthony Geo, John Gabris, Whitmer Thomas, Mary Holland, Dan Klein, Betsy Sidaro, Lou Wilson, Allie Beardsley, Natalie Palamides, and Josh Rubin. So get into Corked.
Yes.
And go follow Whitmer. Go watch his stuff online and on HBO Max and all that fun stuff. And we'll be back next week with Eternals. So we will see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Was a HeadGum original.